This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 379 and three quarters, up 3.5. July corn, 386 and three quarters, up 3.5. September corn, 394, up 3.25. May soybeans, 968 and three quarters, up 2.75. July soybeans, 971.5, up 2.5. August soybeans, 968, up 1. May wheat, 494.5, no change. July wheat, 489.25, down 1.5. September wheat, 497.75, down 1.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Kunder grain prices did end higher on Friday afternoon. And in northern and western Illinois, Kunder grain yields quoted shell corn bids mostly 3 to 5 higher at 358 to 375. Soybean bids were up 1 to 5 cents at 936 to 973. In central Illinois, Kunder grain yields quoted shell corn bids mostly 3 to 5 higher at 354 to 374. And soybean bids were up 2 to 4 cents at 950 to 968. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 cents at 368 to 383, soybean bids 3 cents higher at 949 to 974, and the wheat bids steady to a penny lower at 404 to 462. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 cents higher at 982 to 989, basis steady ranging from 13 to 20 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $320 to $340 per ton. That's up $2.60, with basis steady ranging from 5 to 25 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents stronger at $377 to $394. Basis steady ranging from 3 under to as much as 14 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 cents higher at 378 to 383, basis a penny stronger, ranging from 2 under to 3 over the May. Soybeans ended 3 cents higher at 966 to 972, basis steady, ranging from 3 under to 3 over the May. And new crop wheat bids ended 2 cents lower for the day at 470 to 472, with basis steady at 19 to 17 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents stronger at $3.99 to $4. The same elevators raised their soybean prices by 3 cents with quotations at $9.91 to $9.92. Soft wheat unchanged at $4.95 to $5.02, while the Milo gained 3 to 4 cents at $4.45 to $4.46. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealers bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.62 to $3.73. New crop soybean bids at $8.95 to $9.25. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.58 to $3.73. New crop soybean bids at $9.14 to $9.32. And in the southern part of the state on Friday, new crop corn bids range from $3.61 to $3.77. New crop soybean bids $9.01 to $9.27. And wheat bids for June, July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from $4.50 up to $4.77. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, $157.80, down $3. June live cattle, $149, down $3. August live cattle, $146.67, down $3. April feeder cattle, $213, down $2.80. May feeder cattle, $208.52, down $4.47. August feeder cattle, $210.20, down $4.47. May lean hogs, $70.52, down 50 cents. June lean hogs, $76.27, down 10 cents. July lean hogs, $77.47, down 32 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 17th's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 43 cents higher in the range of $54 to $63.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $61.71. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 24 to 28, 4 to 5 weights 27 to 31, 5 to 6 weights 29 to 33, and 6 weights and up 30 to 35. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading mostly steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $40 to $43. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 14,139 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 210 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 159 to 164.25. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 144 to 149.50. And choice slaughter heifers, 159 to 163.50. On to the slaughter cows. Premiums were bringing 133 to 140 with high dressing at 145. Breakers were 98 to 108 with the high dressing at 116. Boners were $100 to 109 with high dressing 115 to 118. And leans were $90 to $100 with the high dressing at 108. Slaughter bulls under 1,500 pounds were 116. Yield grade bulls 1,500 pounds and up 117.50 to 122. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 289 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $67.99. And that was $1.85 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $257.79. That was $2.59 lower, with select carcasses at $250.97. That was unchanged. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 100,000. That compared to 90,000 last week and 100,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 419,000. That compared to 396,000 last week and 380,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has issued a revised directive to update the list of safe ingredients used in meat, poultry, and egg product production, according to the cattle site. FSIS listed a blend of lactic acid, citric acid, and potassium hydroxide as a spray or dip for poultry, beef, pork, and lamb carcasses, heads, and organs. The directive includes changed labeling requirements for ready-to-eat meat products that contain tomato lycopene extract and concentrate, an aqueous mixture of peroxyacetic acid, and a combination of sulfuric acid, ammonium sulfate, and water were added for use as antimicrobial substances. In addition, oat fiber and oat hull fiber were added for use as binders in whole muscle cuts of meat, poultry, comminuted meat, and poultry products. Soon, the United States Environmental Protection Agency should release its annual update to the renewable fuel standards mandates. Todd Gleason reports this year's RFS is very important to the biodiesel industry.
More often than not, when the federal government's renewable fuel standard is discussed, people are thinking about corn-based ethanol or other feedstocks that can produce ethanol. However, when US EPA finally releases the RFS mandates, supposedly sometime this month, it may be the biodiesel industry that pays the most attention.
The industry for which the RFS is really a life or death matter is biodiesel.
That's University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin. Biodiesel, by the way, is mostly produced from soybean oil.
Because if the EPA would choose to go back to the statutory levels of the RFS mandates, at least for a few years here in the short run, it would launch likely the biggest boom in biodiesel's history. But if they choose to stay on the path of the proposals from late 2013, it basically cuts the knees out from the industry. So they're sitting there right on the edge waiting to find out what happens.
This edge made the industry unhappy with the federal government earlier this year when it opened the door for biodiesel imported from Argentina to qualify as an advanced biofuel under the U.S. RFS mandates. Scott Irwin sees this move far more favorably than the industry.
I favor the position that the EPA is likely to move the mandate levels back up near or at the statutory levels, at least by 2015, if not 2016. That is going to necessitate a tremendous boom in biodiesel production, more than U.S. production capacity. So one view of the Argentine biodiesel announcement is that it's a precursor to them going back to the statutory levels, which would require that they can document that there's enough registered biodiesel production in the U.S. and outside the U.S. to fill the mandates.
It may be then that the January announcement allowing Argentine biodiesel to qualify as an advanced biofuel in the United States sets the stage for U.S. EPA to follow the letter of the law as written by Congress. It's not possible to do so without additional gallons of advanced fuel from some source. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture is encouraging farmers and agrochemical facilities to save their empty agrochemical containers. The department announced it has arranged to recycle them. Beginning at the end of July and continuing in August, sites throughout the state will collect containers. The containers will be recycled to make shipping pallets, fence posts, drainage tubing, plastic lumber, and other useful products. Metal and household pesticide containers are not eligible for the recycling program. Collection sites will accept only high-density polyethylene number 2 plastic agrochemical containers that are clean and dry. Participants are responsible for rinsing them and removing all caps, labels, booklets, and foil seals. To obtain a free brochure about the program, you can call the Illinois Department of Agriculture toll-free at 1-800-641-3934. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.